Back. It's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So glad that you're listening. I apologize for my absence last week, although you might not have known that I was absent, but dealing with some allergies. So even today, I may have a coughing fit, and I will do my best not to have a coughing fit. But we are so excited that you're listening. And I'm coming to you live from the Vaughn Pharmacy Studio here at Joy 620. You can also now listen online at WRJZ.com. So you can do that. You can also hear this show at our podcast on our website, investinghope.com, or you can find that on iTunes as well. I'll have that updated sometime tomorrow. So if you're listening in your car right now and you're about to get home, you can either turn the computer on or you can listen to the podcast tomorrow. Either way, we would certainly appreciate that. So a lot has happened since I've been on the air. We had our golf tournament. So we spent weeks leading up to the golf tournament talking about the importance of the tournament, talking about the importance of standing and locking arms with Hope Resource Center and all that comes with that. So your funds, your prayers, your time, does a great deal to impact this community. So I wanted to talk about what that means today. So nonprofits must fundraise to meet their budgets. That's not that shouldn't shock anyone. A nonprofit by definition does not make profits. Therefore it needs, an avenue to raise money. So at Hope Resource Center, we are no different. We offer all of our services at no cost to our patients and provide roughly $550,000 worth of services every single year for men and women in this community. Fundraising, however, is simply a vehicle. It is not our end goal or motivation. Instead, we are motivated daily by the needs of this community and the men and women that find themselves in a crisis situation. We saw this vehicle in drive a couple weeks ago as we were joined by 60-plus individuals at Gettysview Polo Golf and Country Club for our 11th annual Hope Challenge Golf Tournament. This tournament gives us a chance every single year to partner with businesses, churches, and individuals to highlight and fund the work of Hope. These participants lock arms with our organization to stand for moms, dads, babies, and families in need. The Lord has done some amazing work over the years through this tournament and those that participate. And this year was no different, as we were able to top all previous tournaments and raise just over $60,000. And what a number. That's more than we've ever raised in the golf tournament. This number represents ultrasounds, pregnancy tests, STD testing and treatment, parenting classes, and baby showers for those in need. It represents love for your neighbor and a desire to stand with the vulnerable. The golf tournament was great, but the focus is not on the vehicle used. It was a great day because funds were raised and provided to assure that the patients that find themselves at Hope will be provided the care they need. And so now what I want to do is thank those that helped us. And we had so many sponsors that stood with us, Shoreline Church, and a few other churches as well, Home Federal Bank, Appalachian Communications, Pilot, Knox Fire Extinguisher, Grace, and CAK, just so many organizations and people that stood with us. And you can learn all about that on our website at investinghope.com. But the reason I bring that up is because a lot of times when people think of nonprofits, or even when they think of what I do as executive director, they think, well, all you do is ask for money. Well, I can assure you that is not all we do. And to be completely honest, I very seldom ask for money, because that's not in my nature. But what we do is we have to have those conversations about, okay, how do we continue the work that we're doing? Because folks, there's still 3,000 abortions every single day. There's still 1 million abortions every single year. So we need places like Hope Resource Center in this community and across this state and across this country to open their doors and be there for those moms and dads that are in crisis. I mean, and we're seeing more and more patients every single week, every single day. Right now, we are the staff at Hope is preparing our conference room and turning it into turning the conference table into a dinner table. And tonight is the last class for this current parenting class session. And next week, we're going to be having baby showers. But what we're doing tonight is staff members and volunteers are preparing a meal for this group of females, this group of patients that are expecting moms. They're preparing a meal for them. They have a nice tablecloth. They've decorated nicely. All of that is happening. Why? Because we want to go above and beyond for these patients. Because we care deeply about them, and they matter to us, and they have value. And so tonight, not only are they going to learn about relationships and their identity and what their where their identity should be and why their identity is important, but they're also going to be treated special. They're going to be looked at as special. They're going to be fed well. They're going to be served. And we do all of those things, again, because we want to show them. We want to show them that they matter. We want to show them that they deserve respect, that they deserve the best. That's why we have these parenting classes. And so the funds from the golf tournament, the funds from year end, the funds from the banquet, the funds from the Battle of the Bottles and all of those things, the funds from individuals across this state and across this country, the funds from the churches across this community, all go to impact directly men and women in this community. And we are so thankful for that. So that's what's happening at Hope right now. And then, like I said, next week we are having baby showers. Now, you may be new to the show. You may be new to Hope Resource Center or new to the community. So what do you, you know, maybe you're wondering, well, what do you mean baby showers? Well, at Hope Resource Center, for the patients that go through parenting class, and they meet all the requirements of showing up and being there and being engaged and in the process, you know, once they meet all of those things, then they are thrown a baby shower. And so next week, we're going to throw 12 baby showers in one day. And every single person, every single mom, they will receive a diaper bag full of clothes and diapers and wipes. They'll receive a car seat, brand new. They'll receive a brand new pack and play. They'll receive a brand new stroller, a brand new bathtub, clothes and upon clothes, diapers upon diapers upon diapers, wipes, all of that stuff. Now, you may be listening and going, well, aren't they getting a baby shower from someone at church? Isn't someone in their family going to throw them a baby shower? You know, the sad truth is a lot of our patients aren't getting baby showers. Some of them do. But a lot of our patients aren't getting baby showers outside of what Hope is doing. And so that's why it's important for us to do this. That's why it's important for us to provide them with brand new stuff. Not used, not gently used, not hand-me-downs, but brand new items. Why? Because we want them to see that they matter. That we care deeply about them. Not just that we care deeply about them, but that this community cares deeply about them. That the local church cares deeply about them. Beaver Dam Baptist just the other day brought us, I think, 15 diaper bags full of stuff. Why? Because they see a need and they want to help meet that need. My mom is in the process of sewing a bunch of onesies with the Hope logo on them, so that every patient will get a Hope onesie for their baby. Now, why is my mom doing that? Because she cares deeply about these women. My mom lives 4 hours away from here. She's not going to meet these patients. But her connection is, well, first off, her baby boy works at Hope. But second is, these are moms that are in need. And my mom is a mom of three. And she understands what moms need when they're having babies. And then because my mom is doing that, then there was a flower shop that reached out and said, hey, we'll provide centerpieces for the baby showers. Why are they doing those things? Because they see the value in it. Right? That flower shop isn't going to get a kickback. They're not going to get money. My mom isn't getting money. Beaver Dam didn't get money. They're doing that because they care deeply about the mission of Hope, and they also care deeply about the patients that are finding themselves at Hope Resource Center. And so maybe you're listening, you're saying, man, I'd love to help out with a baby shower. Well, send me an email, andrew@knoxvillehope.com, or send Megan an email, megan@knoxvillehope.com. Megan heads up our baby showers and our parenting classes. But reach out to us. We would love to connect. Maybe you're thinking, hey, I would love to provide a car seat. I would love to sponsor a mom. I would love to provide a pack and play, or my Sunday school class, or my life group, or my house group, or my community group, or my small group, or whatever other group you may be a part of at your church. Hey, we would love to provide, you know, 5 or 6 pack and plays, or 5 or 6 car seats, or we can provide clothes or diapers or whatever that may be. Because, you know, the great thing about it is the 12 showers that we're going to throw next week, that's not the only 12 we're going to throw this year. We throw close to 50 baby showers every single year. You know what that means? That means we need 50 car seats. We need 50 pack and plays, 50 strollers, 50 bathtubs, tons of clothes, tons of diapers. And the Lord always provides. Some churches and some individuals will bring those items to us. Some individuals, some churches will bring us Target gift cards or Walmart gift cards or just a Visa gift card. Some will write a check. There's so many different options to get involved in the work that is going on in Hope Resource Center. Maybe you're sitting there going, look, I don't have the money to do that. I'm barely getting by as it is. So I can't do that. Well, you can pray for us, and we would certainly appreciate that. You can pray for these moms that soon will be having a baby. You can pray for them. You can pray for our patients. Patients that, you know, just over the, you know, this, I'm just thinking through this past year, we've seen 14-year-olds come in that are pregnant. They need your prayers. They need a support system. We've seen moms come in that have been striving to get pregnant for years have a miscarriage. They need your prayers. Seen young women that have been raped and not really sure where to find some answers. They need a support system. They need people to stand with them. That's why we're there at Hope Resource Center. So I say all of that to say the golf tournament, the fundraisers that we do, every dollar that we receive simply allows us to continue to do the work that we've been doing. And folks, we're celebrating 20 years in 2017. Hope's been open for 20 years and seen almost 25,000 patients over that time period. And we're able to do that because of people like you, and we certainly appreciate that. We'll be back in a sec. Center, thank you so much for listening. Fall is in the air here in Knoxville, although it's 80 degrees outside today. But we're so glad that we get this opportunity every single week to talk about Hope Resource Center, to talk about life. And you know, sometimes we focus specifically on Hope Resource Center and the work that we're doing. Other times I will have guests from all over the country that are doing pro-life work and hope to do more of that and have more interviews coming up. You know, this week, if you're interested, Tennessee Right to Life is having a big a banquet this week on Thursday. So if you want to learn more about that, go find them online as well. A lot of pro-life things happening around this state and around this community and around this country that we need to be a part of. And one of those things is coming up in January. In January, every year we have Sanctity of Life Month, which is January. And then we have Sanctity of Life Sunday, which I believe this year is the 15th. The March for Life this year is going to be on the 27th, I believe, on a Friday, and so a lot of great things happening, and along with the March for Life that goes on in Washington D.C. And maybe you're listening, you're saying, "Well, I don't know what the March for Life is." Well, it's every year, and I'm not sure how long it's been going on, but every year thousands of people gather in Washington D.C. and they march. And the march goes through Washington, D.C. And what it is is a way of showing not just the country but the world, hey, we stand for life. And we're willing to do whatever we have to get that word out. And just to be honest, folks, for a long time, the march was really focused more on and kind of led by the Catholic Church. And so there's not a huge evangelical presence in D.C. for the March for Life. Now, that is coming from an evangelical myself, a Southern Baptist through and through guy that always been raised in the church. It saddens me to know that there's not a large evangelical presence. And so the Southern Baptist Convention is trying to correct that. And in a way to correct that, they have the ERLC, which is the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, led by Dr. Russell Moore, put on a conference. And they started this last year, and it's called Evangelicals for Life. And what they've done is they've partnered with the March for Life folks. And they're saying, we must have more evangelicals coming to D.C. to stand for life, to boldly stand for life. And last year I was able to go, and last year they were predicting a blizzard, and the weather people got it right. And so I was stuck in D.C. for 2 days longer than I was planning to be there, but it was a great opportunity. We marched, it snowed on us the whole time, and by the time I got back to my hotel, there was, a few inches on the ground. And then by the time I left, there were about 15 inches on the ground, snow on the ground there in Washington, D.C., and everything was at a standstill. But the conference itself, you'll hear from Dr. Moore. You'll hear from Focus on the Family. This year, they're going to have Matt Chandler, who is an amazing pastor. Google him. John Stone Street, who's amazing as well. Al Mohler is going to be there. So many amazing evangelicals are going to be there. Representatives from CareNet, representatives from NIFLA, which are umbrella organizations that work with pro-life clinics like Hope Resource Center. So it's going to be a great opportunity. And the great thing about it, too, is maybe you're sitting there going, well, that sounds really nice, Andrew, but I can't go to Washington, D.C. in January. And I don't want to go to Washington, D.C. in January because it's going to be really cold and I might get snowed in. Well, I first would say don't let that scare you. If you can get away, I would highly recommend it. You need to do it at least once. I'm going back again this year and taking a couple members of the staff as well. And we're going to go to the conference and then we're going to do the march. And it's just going to be a great opportunity. But they're also going to stream the Evangelicals for Life conference. You'll be able to find that on their website as well. And it's just a great opportunity, again, for evangelicals to come out and say, hey, life has value, life matters, and we want to stand for the unborn, we want to stand for the most vulnerable among us. And it also gives us an amazing opportunity, and I've said this multiple times, but for so many, pro-life simply means pro-baby. And what this gives us an opportunity to do is speak to the fact that, no, it's not just pro-baby. We are absolutely pro-baby, but we are pro-mom. We are pro-dad. We are pro-family. And so when we get our minds wrapped around that idea, when we understand that pro-life doesn't just mean inside the womb, but it means those that are carrying that baby inside the womb, and that there are moms that are in crisis that need our assistance and that need our help. So when I march in Washington, that is what I'm saying, that not only am I pro-baby, but I'm pro-mom, and I'm pro-dad, and I'm pro-family. And so that is what we want to tell not just the country, but the world. And again, the goal there is not just that this would be illegal, but that abortion would be unthinkable in a civilized society. So the goal is that if we can change the hearts of the people, then eventually, legislation will mirror that. Eventually, the Supreme Court will mirror that. But we can't start with legislation. We can't start with the Supreme Court. It has to start with the hearts of the people. So are we prepared to do that? And I'm telling you, folks, when I was standing there last year and marching with thousands of people, even with the blizzard, a lot of people stayed home because their flights couldn't come in or they couldn't make the drive because of the weather. But even with a lot of people staying home, there was still probably at least 10,000 people, probably between somewhere between 10 and 15,000 people marching. And to see the young people there marching, to see people that are coming together and standing in one voice saying that life matters and that life has value, and doing that in a peaceful way, was an amazing thing to see. It was an amazing thing to be a part of. Was it cold? Yes. Did I get lost after we marched and I didn't know how to get back to my hotel? Yes. And did it take me an hour to get back to my hotel? Yes. Was I alone? Yes. but it was a amazing experience to be with all those folks. Young people, middle-aged people, old people. I met Kelsey Grammer, which was pretty cool. So many people coming to say, hey, life has value, and doing it in a peaceful way. And you know, when we got to the end, there were some folks that were upset with us who do not stand for life, who do not stand with us. And I can just tell you, they were not peaceful. They were yelling terrible things, saying terrible things. And so if you want to learn more about that, then, and, you know, search March for Life, go learn more about the march. But also look at Evangelicals for Life. The conference is coming up, and I think there's still an early bird special. You can register for Evangelicals for Life and come join us. It'll be a great time, and there's going to be a lot of great breakout sessions and main speakers and all of that. And it's just a great opportunity, again, to stand with people from all walks of life, from all over the country, that say, hey, life has value, and we need to be standing for the most vulnerable among us, which doesn't just mean the unborn, but it also means that mom in crisis. And so we would love to see you come out and join us with that. One thing that I want to talk about too is, you know, earlier I was talking about how you can pray for us. Well, next week we start our Life Matters prayer initiative. We start an amazing week of where we're just intentionally praying for our clinic, for our patients, for abortion clinics, for Cecile Richards, who heads up Planned Parenthood, for abortion workers, all of those folks. We're not, you know, some folks would say, well, the answer is to be hateful and angry toward them because they are angry and hateful toward us. Well, that's not the answer. The answer is that my prayer is that a Paul type, that someone would be like Paul, would rise up within that industry and would rock it to its core spiritually. And so that's what we're going to be praying for. And the reason we focus on the week that we're focusing on is because the largest abortion provider in the country, which is Planned Parenthood, turns 100 years old on October 16th. So October 16th is their birthday. And if you go on Twitter, they are making a big deal about it. Hey, we're about to turn 100. Change your profile picture to stand with Planned Parenthood. Well, what I would encourage you to do is not to change your profile picture to do that. What I would encourage you to do is join us in praying for them. So as they celebrate their 100 years, may we mourn that they've been around for 100 years. May we pray for those that are in leadership with that organization. May we pray for those that are employed by that organization, for those patients that will find themselves at that organization. And may we pray that God would move in a mighty way. That is what we're going to be doing all next week. I'll continue to talk about it and continue to update on that. And then we're going to finish that off October 16th. While they're celebrating their birthday, we're going to be at Shoreline Church worshiping and praying, hopefully with 100 of your closest friends. And we're going to be calling out to God to move in a mighty way for life in this country. We'll be back in a sec. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. And we're, again, thankful that you're listening today. Some of you may be listening and going, you know, this guy keeps talking about Hope Resource Center. I don't know anything about Hope. You know, some of you may be listening and going, I'm tired of hearing him talk about Hope Resource Center. Either way, I have about 20 more minutes of the show. So a quick rundown. Hope Resource Center, this is the way I put it at a church the other day. I had the privilege of speaking at, and I said, you know, our mission is we empower healthy choices for life by providing compassionate, holistic, reproductive health care. But to sum that up even more, we're a pro-life clinic that loves Jesus. right? So we're a medical clinic that loves Jesus. That is why we are in operation. That is who we are to the core. Everybody on staff, that is who they are to the core. We are there to serve the people. We are there to serve that young 14-year-old that comes in and didn't know she was going to be 20 weeks pregnant. We're there to serve that young lady that was date raped. We're there to serve that young man that made a poor decision and may have an STD. We're there to serve that married couple that are struggling financially but find themselves with an unplanned pregnancy. That is who we are. Now, sometimes does it get messy? Sometimes is it chaotic? Sometimes, do people get hateful and angry? Yes. But folks, we didn't sign up. We didn't sign up for this to receive awards or anything like that. We signed up for this because what we know is we're a broken people. And there are broken people in this community that need assistance. Right? So it also isn't us on our righteous high horse saying, hey, we have it all figured out. And we have all the answers. Just come and get the help that you need. Well, that's baloney. I can assure you. We are broken, fallen individuals that are doing the best we can to run an organization. But what we do know is we know that when God put all this into place, and when Jesus went to that cross, and when Jesus kicked that tomb open and rose, that he didn't do that for us on our best day. I think sometimes we want to think that Jesus went to the cross for me on my best day where I just sinned a little bit, but not a lot. In reality, the cross covers even the worst of the worst of sins. That is why Paul can say, I'm the chief of sinners, but I still have grace. I'm the worst of the worst. I was a terrorist to the gospel, but the Lord still used me. That is why Paul could say that. So when I say all the things that I say, when I talk about what we do at Hope Resource Center, and I do that with passion, and I try to lay everything out, it isn't to say as if we know better. It's just to say that we know someone that is better. That we don't rely on our own works and our own effort to make Hope Resource Center run. No, I've worked in places where we did rely on our own efforts. My previous positions, we would, if we had morning meetings, they didn't involve God. They didn't involve praying. They involved, hey, what are you going to do today? How are you going to make us better? How are you going to raise more money? How are you going to, fill in the blank? But at Hope Resource Center, we get up every morning and we come together as a staff at 8:30. And what do? We pray. We talk about the patients that are coming in that day. We talk about the patients that came in the day before. And then we pray for them, and we pray for our staff, and we pray for the work that's going on. We pray for you, those that stand with hope. Because what we know is as the heaviness of this job comes, if we try to just rely on our own effort, if we try to just rely on our own knowledge, if we try to just rely on how good we are, well, we're going to fail. Then when that patient comes in and they've had a rough day, they've had a rough week, and they show anger, and they say words that we wouldn't dare say in public, or they treat us a way we wouldn't dare treat another human, well, the fact that we rely on God allows us to love them and serve them well. And what it also allows us to do is to provide grace. Why? Because we've been provided grace. And so that is who we are at Hope Resource Center. I am proud to be a part of the staff at Hope Resource Center. Again, we're not perfect. I've said on the show before, we may or may not have a swear jar. Why? Because there's days where we struggle. There's days where the job is heavy and it's tough and it's difficult, and there's people that have personalities that don't mesh, and there's people that come in and you think to yourself, we're not charging a dime, so why are you so upset at us? But that's not the way we need to look at them. We may not be charging them a dime, but what we do know is they've been through a lot throughout their childhood, throughout their life. There's been abuse. There's been addiction. And so what we seek to do and what we seek for you to do alongside of us is just to say, hey, I know it's tough. I know life is tough. And I know this isn't how you planned it out. But even though we may not have planned it out, there is a greater plan. And again, that greater plan may not be an easy one. There may be some struggles in there. There may be some hiccups along the way. But the work that we've been called to do, you know, Jesus didn't say, go and make disciples of all nations where it's easy and where everybody is sweet and where everybody is nice and just go the easiest path possible. He didn't say that. He just said, go. And so what we try to do, and again, some days we fail, but what we try to do is, okay, the Lord has told us to go and make disciples of all nations. What Hope Resource Center, we see all nations, even the real country nations that are back in places where I grew up in the backwoods. We see people from all walks of life. And so when we look at them, we don't look at them and see, hey, that's a number in our bank account. How much money can we make off of them? Well, folks, we don't make any money off of them. We don't look at them and say, hey, this is a great charity case. This will make a great story to tell. No, we look at them and say, that is an individual that was made in the image of God. Now, they may be facing addiction. They may be facing abuse. They may be facing things that we couldn't even begin to fathom. But what we know is they were made in the image of God. And I think a lot of times when we think of this pro-life work, it's easy to look and see a pregnant mom and say, that baby inside of her is made in the image of God and was knitted together in that mother's womb. It's easy to say that because why? Because we see that she's pregnant. And we can't feel that baby yet, but we know there's a baby in there. And so when we see ultrasound images, we say that baby was knitted together in that mom's womb by God himself, the creator of the universe. But what we fail to do is look at that mom who's struggling with addiction. Look at that mom who's a prostitute, or look at that mom who is struggling with fill in the blank. What we fail to do is look at her at times and say she was made in the image of God, that she was knitted together for a purpose. Folks, we can't do that. That can't be who we are. Now, do I want her to turn from prostitution? Do I want her to turn from that addiction? Absolutely. But that's not her identity, which is why they're talking about that tonight in parenting class. That is not their identity. That family member that abused them while they were growing up is not their identity. That drug that has captured all their thoughts and everything about them and has lost them jobs and has lost them houses, that is not their identity. This pregnancy is not their identity. What we know is they were made for a purpose, knitted together carefully. Who are you, God, that you would be mindful of us? Think about that. The God that put every star in the sky, that formed every mountain in the Smokies, that if you go read Job, the one that knew when the goat was having babies, That's what he tells Job. Where were you? That same God knitted people together in their mother's womb. And what we fail to realize is the brokenness around us, the people that are so broken around us that we want to judge and that we want to talk about and that we want to, you know, cast to the side. What we fail to see is they were knitted together. They are made in the image of God. Even when we want to attack the other side, the abortion lobby and Planned Parenthood and the abortion clinics. Cecile Richard was made in the image of God. Do I disagree with her on probably every issue? Yes. But that doesn't mean her life doesn't have value. So the question is, when we look at others around us, are we the ones that are on that high horse saying, we have it all figured out, man, praise God that I'm not like them? Well, shame on us. And so when I talk about Hope Resource Center and I talk about our staff and I talk about the work that we do, I want you to understand that we know that there's days where we're terrible and really where we fail. But we get up every day seeking to love those that come in our doors and seeking to let those that come in our doors understand they were made for a purpose, that they are image bearers, that they have value, that they deserve respect. And that this pregnancy is a gift. We may not see that right now, but it's a gift. That is who we are. We'll be back. Back. We have 5 minutes or so left here in the show. Thank you so much for listening. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. If you want to learn more about Hope Resource Center, visit us, investinghope.com. If you want to learn more about our baby showers and you want to get involved in those, you can email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. Maybe you're listening and you're saying, you know what, I'd love to volunteer. Well, volunteering at Hope is a little bit different. We have volunteer training and we want to bring you in, but it's really going to be a mentoring aspect. That's really where our volunteer time starts, is mentoring our patients. And so if you think that's something you want to do and you want to dive in, then you can email Megan. She handles all of that, Megan@KnoxvilleHope.com. Just reach out. Maybe you're saying, I don't know how I can help. I don't know what I can do. Maybe I can write a check. Maybe I can pray. Maybe I can volunteer. Maybe I can help with baby showers. Or maybe I don't really know what that looks like. Then shoot me an email. I'd love to have that discussion with you. I'd love to spend some time with you, kind of telling you my heart and really where Hope is at and what we're doing and kind of the difference that is happening there. And we'd love for you to be a part of that. Because, folks, we've been called to be engaged. We've been called to be active. You know, we're not just a people that go in on church Sunday and then do whatever it is we want to do Monday through Friday. Are we engaged? Are we active? And maybe you're listening, you're saying, look, I'm very passionate about poverty, or I'm very passionate about, you know, other countries or whatever that is. Well, then go for it. You know, I would love to have you join us at Hope Resource Center in Standing for Life, and you should be standing for life in some shape, form, or fashion. But maybe that's not the thing that God has called you to do. Well, then run and do whatever it is He's called you to do. But folks, we have to do something. Because there's I talk to people all the time. They're like, there's just brokenness everywhere. Yeah, there is. And we're believers. We have the answer. You know, I heard a story one time, and a guy was talking to an atheist friend of his, and he says, you know, if what you say is true, then Christians may be the worst people ever. And the guy having that conversation was like, what do you mean? He's like, because if what you say is true and you're not sharing that with everyone, then you're keeping the best news this world has ever seen away from people. So folks, if we believe it to be true, if we believe the gospel to be true, if we believe that Jesus lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and then rose from the dead, if we believe that to be true, then that's the greatest news ever. Even Paul said, if the resurrection didn't happen, we should be the most pitied. So what are we doing? Again, we don't do these things to get salvation, but our salvation should be driving us to do things. We are not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So what are we doing to engage in the communities that God has placed us in? Well, one way to do that is joining and standing for life. Because folks, not only are there 3,000 abortions every single day, but that means there's 3,000 moms. 3,000 moms that are struggling, that need your help. And I've said it before, but pro-life and pro-life clinics, we are not the alternative. We are the primary choice. So we better be standing to make sure that that the society and that culture and that the world knows we are the primary. So if we believe we are the primary, then what are we doing to stand? What are we doing to assist? And we will welcome you to join us at Hope Resource Center. Again, learn more at investinghope.com. You can also listen to us live every Tuesday, WRJZ.com. And then we'll have the podcast up tomorrow on our website, investinghope.com, or on iTunes. You can find it there as well. We'll talk to you soon. Forgiveness, salvation's waiting.